offensive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Irv Katz, and welcome to Dial a Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial a Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that now I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? It's Monday night, and it's time for another episode of Dial a Dork. We are your Cleveland dorks. Let me introduce myself. My name is Irv. I'm here with Dork Almighty Matt.
Hello.
I am here one last blessed time with Amitai.
It's so sad.
How?
How as in how could you do this to us? And we are pleased to bring back good old pal Faragi.
Hello, Cleveland, and everybody out there in Ice Cast Land.
Ice Cast Land.
That could have two meanings
tonight. Ice Castles.
What? That could have two meanings tonight.
Yeah, okay, we
could. It's snowing again. Jesus.
Okay, well,
that
anyway.
That one was for the ice casters.
Yeah, exactly. No, that wasn't what I heard at all. No possible way. Let's see. You can call us 216-578-1300. Here at WEREAM 1300, you can also email us at dorks@dialadork.com. And that's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. You email us with a question or a comment, and we'll probably read it on the air, to be perfectly honest with you. So do that right away. Also, if you go to our website at www.dialadork.com, hyphenated, you'll see a button that says I Listen. Now, if you did this last week, you don't have to do it again. But if you go to our website, if you haven't done it yet, click the I Listen button and shoot us a quick email letting us know that you are a listener. We're trying to just gauge the size of our audience. So please help us out and let us know that you listen. So there you go. Also, if you'd like to advertise or sponsor an episode of Dial a Dork, let us know. You can email us at dorks@dialadork.com and let us know you're interested in that as well. And in fact, we are kind of like the Clinton White House. And
I don't want to know where this is going.
in the sense that if you give us money, we will give you opportunity to get on the air, quite possibly.
Or into our Lincoln bedroom, so to speak.
Yeah, well, something. We've got lots of cigars. It's not a problem. Okay.
Moving right along then, Cleveland.
We're also going to have another exciting giveaway in the second half of the show.
Cigars.
I better tell Yoko about this during the break because she has no idea. But if
you
are
her away?
If you are the X caller, we don't know what number yet, but if you are the number, I don't know, caller, you will win something. So keep that in mind. If you are a caller and we have a prize for you, we'll give it to you. Or something. Hopefully, the woman who won the Indians tickets last week actually was able to pick them up. I left them at will call.
I hope she picked them up,
too. I hope the Indians didn't screw it up or something.
They probably lost by one run.
No, they actually won that night 6-0. CC Sabathia pitched a gem.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was actually the one win they've had in the last six games. And she got to see it. So a little dork karma working.
Hell, we should send people to the show more often.
Send people to the show?
People to the show. To
you
the
mean,
game.
You mean the ball
Sorry
game?
Sorry about that, yeah.
Because I don't think because we can actually send them to, like, in terms of, like, Bull Durham, like, we can't send them to the show. They can't play in the game. We can't offer that.
Maybe they should. I mean, we win a couple
well,
more
I
games.
Don't think, I mean, I don't think the results would be any worse if I was out there, toting the rock out there on the, throwing the pee? They call it? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. All right, look, let's...
This is a tech show, by the way, folks.
Oh, yeah, this is a tech show.
Moving on.
All right, well, let's just jump right into... we've got a caller already on line one. She's got some email problems. Cheryl, are you there?
Yes.
Cheryl, how are you?
I'm okay. A little bit of a cold. Sorry if I hack in your ear.
Well, you know, luckily colds don't, I can't catch them over the phone, so it's fine.
This is good.
And we can pot you down if you cough too loud into the phone. It's not a problem.
All right, let her ask her question.
All right, state your question.
I have a Windows NT system.
NT, like NT?
N as in Nancy, T as in Thomas.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, my system seems to be okay. I haven't noticed any problems. I mean, I'm thinking I might have a virus problem. I don't have any problems on the computer itself, but when I go into my AOL account, which I have an account with, I'm having trouble with my email, and it's getting progressively worse.
Okay, can you describe the symptoms of the problem specifically?
Okay, it started out with attachments not going through with messages, and then sometimes an attachment would go through.
When are you talking about when you sent them?
Yes, when I seem to be able to receive just fine from whoever sends to me. That hasn't been a problem. It's just outgoing from my computer out, and I have mailing lists for my job and try and send a mass mailing out, email, and it's not accepting all the addresses anymore and saying that they're not typed right. In fact, when they are, and
well,
I can't make it get corrected. Is this something I should contact AOL about?
Well, I mean, I absolutely would encourage you to do that. My first instinct is two things. Well, actually, it's one thing that might be... no, I'll say two things. The first thing is that it's possible that your attachments are being filtered out by the AOL mail system as potential viruses.
Ah.
I'm not accusing you of sending out viruses. Don't get me wrong.
No. Yes, yes.
I wouldn't know how to do that.
No, I know. What I'm suggesting is that certain file formats are sort of red flagged.
Yes.
As being, you know, known carriers of viruses. So the first thing you want to do is you want to look into getting a program called, well, it's a zip program, a compression program like WinZip. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of WinZip.
Okay, well, if you can go and get yourself WinZip, you can download it from WinZip.com if you don't have it installed already. And I encourage you to zip up all of your attachments before sending them, regardless of what they are, you know, especially if it's some sort of executable, because that's going to get nailed by almost every mail system.
Okay.
I have a question, Cheryl. Do you know what the approximate size is of the things you're trying to attach to your emails? Are they like pictures? Are they small, like Word documents?
It's all Word documents.
All Word documents.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes mail providers will have problems if your attachments are too large, say in the many multi-megabyte range. But
Okay, you know,
so I don't think that'll be the problem for you.
Sometimes they go through, sometimes.
And I think one of the reasons it hasn't been acceptable to some of the locations is they are government offices in Michigan here.
Yeah.
And they have a very stringent, you know,
right.
screening or whatever you call
right.
it, guards up or whatever. And
now, the other thing that I was going to say to you, and I'm not surprised that if a sort of a government institution email system would be extremely strict with its filtering.
Yeah.
Another thing is that AOL may have instituted some sort of anti-spam policy, which strictly limits the number of recipients that you can have in one email. In other words, mass mailings are a thing of the past through AOL, that it may have been abused at some time. And what will happen is that you might get individual rejection notices for each email above the threshold. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, I haven't had anything like that happen, but I understand what you're saying.
Because I've tried to do it, and I don't even use AOL. I use Ameritech/SBC, and if I send too many emails in a given period of time, they all start to get rejected. I can't send anything at all, even if it's just to one single address. Once I've reached the threshold, I have to wait like an hour for that to clear out. There are a number of websites out there, and I encourage you to Google this, and maybe somebody out there who's listening right now will Google this, and if you keep listening, we'll be able to tell you. There are websites designed specifically so that you can share files with a large number of people, and so what you do is you log into that account, you post your file there, and then it provides you with a hyperlink that you can then copy into an email that you send to people, and they just click on the link, and it takes them to this sort of file sharing portal. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it really does. I appreciate that, and I'll try to to follow up on that.
Yeah, well, keep listening, and hopefully we'll be able to Google it during a break, or somebody out there is listening, and they can Google it and send off a couple of ideas, and we'll announce them over the air.
Okay. Also, you would suggest I contact AOL directly and let them know I'm having a problem receiving or sending out mail.
Absolutely. I mean, okay. That's, you know, you're
a service provider, right?
Yeah, well, you pay them a fair amount of money per month, and I think one of the things you receive in return is supposed to be customer service. They should,
okay.
You know, they may not, they won't change the rules for you, but they might answer your questions.
Well, I'm on AOL 6.0, and I guess my computer is older than their newer systems accept or something. And
well, you know, that could be a factor. I profess to you that I am ignorant of you know what, you know, specific changes, differences there are between AOL, say AOL 6 and the latest AOL 9 in terms of how the mail works.
I bet AOL knows though.
Yeah.
Well, and
exactly.
I think the newer ones have automatic antivirus things and stuff in them.
Yeah, that's true. And you know,
because they've offered it to me, you know, to add on to my service, and I've pushed all the buttons, and then I get this flash on the screen: your system won't accept or something.
Yeah, I don't even know if AOL 9 will run on Windows NT.
See, I'm not sure either. I might be an antique just crunching along. Here.
Yeah, you know, you might actually have to. Is this a computer that was given to you by your employer, or is this your personal PC?
Yeah, it's a government computer. I work out of my home, so it really isn't something I can horse around with too much.
On a scale, a probability scale out of 10, what are the chances of your employer upgrading your PC?
In this economic, zero.
Zero? Okay.
Maybe a one.
Well, luckily, if you know anyone who might be computer savvy that you could just call, you know, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
They might be able to recommend a website or something where for less than, I'd say, $400, you could upgrade to a much more powerful system with a much nicer operating system, a much more user-friendly experience, and I think you'd enjoy the performance gains and the ability to use the latest AOL.
Well, that's an excellent idea. I will follow up on it.
Yeah, you know, if that's in your budget, you know.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
You
Have
bet.
Good evening.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
I'm actually impressed that she got AOL to install on a government computer.
That is an interesting situation because government computers typically are specified as carefully and backwards as they are because it's a known quantity.
Right.
And they're concerned about security. They're concerned about who can do what with the systems. And yeah, the fact that she installed anything, let alone AOL, and is using it for what sounds like government business.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that was the motivation to go to NT at that time.
I can't imagine.
Just for user control.
I can't imagine that computer is more than about a P2 400 or something like that. And I don't think AOL 9 would run real happy on that computer.
Well, hopefully she can work that out with her employer and AOL and figure that out. But yeah.
Yeah,
a whole host of issues.
I'm actually surprised that she doesn't have using a dial up and an email account through the mm-hmm. local government or whoever it is that supplied her with the computer. That's a little surprising to me, but maybe that's something she could look into as well. So, Cheryl, if you're still listening, maybe you could find out if they have dial-up networking and things like that you could use, and maybe their email system would be a better solution in terms of your mass mailings anyway. And there's probably mass mailing services out there she could subscribe to, too. I mean, you know, websites that you could build your distribution list and send emails to. I wonder.
Yeah, there must be something.
I wonder.
I mean, like Evite. Or any one of those services effectively turns into a mailing
list.
That's
true. That's true.
So there must be something that's just that.
But even those have limits on the number of people you can send to in a given time.
Like 500. I mean, that's a pretty nice size.
I mean, if you're doing
work.
Not
for a government.
Yeah, not for a government, not for, you know, office purposes.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe it would be weird if you were working for the government and you got an Evite. Okay, so
Uncle Sam wants you.
What I'm curious, and 499
no.
negative responses, one positive. You know, does anyone know if there's maybe an extension to Firefox or anything like that acts as a D-list or something like that? Does that exist?
A D-list?
distribution list or a mass mailing type of.
Why would you want Firefox?
Yeah, I think
to
you mean Thunderbird.
Thunderbird or the Mozilla Suite.
The built-in address book has the ability to make lists out of it and then send it out to people. But once again, you're limited by your internet connection.
That's
you
true.
Know, provider yeah. as to
whatever the SMTP server is willing to do.
You know, speaking of Firefox, Matt, you're probably quite happy. I mean, I don't know if you threw a party or anything, but I read that Firefox topped 50 million. Downloads.
Had I not been at work when I read that particular note, I would have downed a case of beer.
Did you
a case of beer all by yourself?
But that was fantastic news. 50 million, and it's. I didn't get a chance to go to the site. I've been swamped lately, but it's live statistics now.
How many times have you downloaded it personally, Matt?
10 million.
probably about 5, I would say.
I've done at least a dozen.
Has everybody here?
Two dozen, given all the computers that I put it on. And
yeah, but the stats don't count like nightlies or developer snapshots or anything like that.
I'm not counting that either.
Really?
Yeah, like clients I installed the Firefox client on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you got, how many versions before one did you get?
I was running while it was still Phoenix and then Firebird.
So you're like 0.4 and then probably 0.7. Yeah.
You guys hear that music
like that?
By any chance?
It's beautiful.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right, look, we got to cut away Herb to a break.
On me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, that should tell you something. That should tell you something. All right, so
we'll be back.
When we come back, we're going to talk about extensions to Firefox and what those are, okay?
Hi, I'm Nobody in Particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Want to know who my hero is?
It's not a princess.
It's not a cowboy.
My hero's gonna make us all better.
My hero's gonna cure juvenile diabetes.
Kids with juvenile diabetes need you to be their hero now more than ever. We are so close to finding a cure for this disease, which threatens their sight, their hearts, their dreams. And when we find it, these kids can be kids. Unfortunately, superpowers won't find the cure. Your help will. Please, help the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation find the cure now. Call 1-800-533-CURE or go to jdrf.org. Your help makes you
my hero.
1-800-533-CURE or visit jdrf.org.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Oh, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
I'm Brian Kiefer from AG Financial. Please join me each and every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. I will provide you all the information you need to purchase or refinance your home, including information regarding debt consolidation and home improvement money available. Join me now for our new show, There's No Place Like Home, every Monday night here at 1300 WERE from 6 to 7 p.m.
Yo, girl, what's your sign?
Oh, snap, the stop sign. I get it. Baby, pinch me, because you're so fly, I must be dreaming.
I said pinch, not punch, baby.
Shorté, is that a mirror in your pocket? Because I can...
Okay, what's your name?
Simone.
For all those who keep it real, Doritos Nacho Cheese. Grab yourself a bag of these genuine flavored chips and taste them explode in your mouth. Doritos Nacho Cheese.
I am N-W, if not now, when...
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz, or a dork, or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial a Dork.
Different plums.
Hey, we're back on the air. Welcome to Dial a Dork, 216-578-1300. Or dorks at dialadork.com. That's hyphenated dial-a-dork.com. Get a hold of us right away. I just want to give a shout out to Dewey the Answer Man, who was out there in cyberspace helping us out. And we got Yoko the Architect in the booth, man in the phones there. We got Jody, also known as Tiger, who's in there getting it done. And Jeremy's on the board, so we want to thank everybody for helping us out. And you know, we did want to talk about Firefox and the extensions and stuff, but real quick, though, the new Mac OS X version, codenamed Tiger.
Did you say OS X?
10.4?
It's spelled that way, but it's pronounced OS 10. It's like that old Monty Python sketch, you know, where the guy goes into the doctor's office and the receptionist says, "Oh, yes, Mr. Luxury Yacht." And he says, no. My name is spelled Raymond Luxury Yacht, but it's pronounced Throat Wobbler Mangrove. So it's spelled Mac OS X.
Throat Wobbler. So it's new Apple Throat Wobbler Mangrove.
That's right.
Well, so it's the 10.4.
That's right.
And why do they call it Tiger? So that's to go along with Jaguar.
They've got this
Safari
series of cat imagery going on, and Tiger is the next awesomest cat in the cat family.
Well, what happens when they like run out of super awesome cats? Is like 10.7 going to be Sabretooth?
Well, my wife said that they haven't used the word ocelot yet, so.
Ocelot.
No. Liger. That'll be the next one.
Liger?
Yes.
The bizarre lion-tiger hybrid.
As popularized in the movie I just saw yesterday, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, there's my man over there.
Oh, yes. That was $22 at Best Buy spent.
Indeed. He's got bow staff skills.
You bought it?
Yeah.
That's the first time you saw it, is you bought it?
Yeah.
We got a message here from Dewey who says that the CEO of Opera said he'd swim across the Atlantic Ocean if they hit 1 million downloads. So this just goes to show you that
that's a big pool, man.
Yeah, it's a big
pool. That's unfortunate, too. Opera's a pretty solid browser.
Well, what about it?
Nothing particularly
but
special.
It's the small footprint browser, though, right?
For a long time, it was the smallest footprint and the fastest. I'm having a little trouble speaking.
And the only one that actually charges a fee to get it.
Well, right?
Yeah, it's not free. It's not open source. Yeah. But for a while, it was the alternative browser.
Right, that's true. They've been in business forever. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they must have some
remember.
Really devoted at least 10 years users.
Yeah.
Well, Firefox, though, is just absolutely exploded. And, you know, tell us a little bit about these extensions. I mean, I don't think that Internet Explorer really can. I don't think Internet Explorer really can match Firefox at all in terms of.
Terms of anything?
Well,
I mean, seriously.
In terms of footprint.
Except for the fact that. You know what? You guys really are just the biggest bunch of open source snobs. You are a bunch
actually,
of bastards,
I'm not.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's tried to deal. This is where I try to get Jody on the phone to tell us about the wonders of CSS.
And
the differences between IE and Mozilla and Firefox, and it's nasty world, indeed.
Well, Russ downloaded a free version of Opera. Apparently, that has ads.
Yeah, that's their model now. They show ads while you're browsing for the free version. And
I'm remembering
whatever.
Something about Opera. There was something on slickdeals.net a week or two ago where just as Opera 8 came out, they were publishing for free a serial number that would unlock the earlier version, 7.5 or 7.6, or any of the 8.0 betas for unlimited use. And this was intentional on their part, so it's legit.
So
anybody
have to go to like a
can get
crack
Opera
site or something.
I wouldn't know about that.
Of course not.
And we just want to also give a shout out to Russ, who is listening right now, who is stuck at work. Sadly, he was on the road all day today, south of Columbus, and then he had to come back and go right into the office and do a bunch of work. So sorry about that, Russ, but you're in our hearts and our thoughts, and we're glad you're listening and contributing via email, so we really appreciate that. And we've got another email here from Celine in Cleveland. Celine says, when did the internet become a... When did the internet become a D&D zoo? What is a Firefox, a Mozilla, and a Thunderbird, and who is making these products? Well,
a bunch of dorks.
A bunch of D&D playing.
A brief history of Netscape. Anybody have that in 30 seconds?
Wait, no. What about Mosaic?
NCSA Mosaic.
That's part of the history.
If I can just say that as a, let's see, probably a sophomore at Case was when I think the first edition of Mosaic was widely available, and everybody had, you know, fiber optic Ethernet into their rooms and stuff. So we started using, like 1991 or something like that, we started using Mosaic. And the thing about Mosaic and then the early version of Netscape was, if you can believe this, it didn't have a stop button. The stop button was a huge invention. We had to actually, because very often websites would go down. They would just disappear out of nowhere, and you would have to wait for the darn thing to time out, like 60 seconds or something. There was no stop button, so that was real frustrating. But luckily somebody invented the stop button, and all's well.
And that, as they say, is that. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, are webcams really popular on Case's campus or something?
Webcams?
You know, fiber optic network.
They certainly could be. Yeah. I mean, they literally can, you know, do, I think, lectures over the
they do video
over the network.
Sweet. They can do a lot of stuff, but, well, I'm not going to say any more for fear of a, yeah.
Oh, you like work there, right?
I kind of work at Case.
Okay, let's just drop it.
Great place.
But seriously,
the original question.
Yeah, go ahead, Froggy.
Well, all of these products were derived from the company Netscape, who put together as an answer to Microsoft's Internet Explorer various products such as Mozilla, and which is kind of like their flagship product, but they do have a fork from that product that a bunch of other open source developers picked up, and they're calling that the Firefox browser. So it's kind of based upon the same code, but kind of taking a slightly different direction. And Thunderbird is the mail portion of that product, and it's kind of like a whole suite of tools. But why they refer to them as animals, I think it's just kind of a computer geek thing where, you know, we really like to play with language and mangle names. I mean, if anybody's familiar with the O'Reilly series of books, for example, all of them, most of them have an animal on the cover. For example, like the Pearl Book has a lot to do with camels.
You know what would be a fantastic bit of trivia? What was the first O'Reilly book and the animal that was on it?
That I don't know.
Damn.
If you know the answer to that question, you could win a valuable prize.
Yeah, you can win.
You know what? If you know the answer to that question, email or call us, and you can win a Dial-A-Dork messenger bag. That's what we're going to be giving away anyway. So if you can answer that, what was the animal on the first O'Reilly book, and what was the subject matter of the first O'Reilly book with an animal on it, and what was that animal? You win a GD and messenger bag from Dial-A-Dork with our logo and everything.
They
shoulder
are nice.
Strap.
They're nice.
They are sweet. And let me just say that Russ and Dewey are having a really heated email exchange here. And Russ says that with extensions, Firefox is much less stable. And we'll talk about what the extensions are in a second. And then Drew says, well, don't use extensions then. And then he goes, you kids and your extended functionality, poo.
So, well, I have to agree with them. I don't use any extensions and I'm extremely happy.
One. It's the Abe Vigoda. Am I alive or am I dead extension?
That is a great extension.
That's a fantastic. He's alive last time I checked.
You don't have
folks.
To check his website to know. It's right there in Firefox at all times.
Ah.
Well, look, let's just clear this up. Extensions, I mean, to my understanding, are, you know, I mean, are similar to like the Google toolbar or something like that in Internet Explorer. They're little add-on functionality, little add-on programs that, you know, add capabilities to your Firefox browser. But, you know, a la the Windows environment where you have all these different software manufacturers coming together and they don't necessarily talk to each other. Sometimes their software doesn't play well with other software. And so if you have too many extensions or this extension and that extension on your you've installed them on your Firefox, you might encounter stability issues.
What you have to remember, too, is that all these extensions are written by guys and girls like you and me. We aren't, a lot of us, the best coders in the world. So, you know, while the browser itself was made by a lot of really competent coders and reviewed by a lot of people, a lot of these extensions are written by, you know, maybe kids sitting in their basement, just kind of getting into programming, not really knowing what the heck they're doing. So, you know, that might complicate things and create less stability.
Well, and that says something positive about the Firefox project, which is that it's so easy to write a plugin or an extension that anyone can try. And it doesn't mean that you should go grabbing anything and everything you find on the net. Not all the software you find is good. In fact, a small fraction of it is. But If there's some feature that you're missing in Firefox that you wish it did a little bit better.
Like trying to figure out if Ava Goda is alive or dead.
Yeah.
I wish my browser could tell me that.
Oh, it can.
Then go poking around. Find one or two extensions, experiment with them, and see how they go.
And I have to believe that if somebody comes up with a really useful extension that and that the whole community wants to use, if it's not written particularly well, somebody will step up and fix it, make it better.
I've seen a couple that I've kept an eye on over time. One of my favorites was called Flash Click to View. If you've ever gone to a website and been annoyed by a flash animation that was in the page, it's not a pop-up because Firefox wouldn't let you get the pop-up, but it's actually in the page, some kind of an ad that's just animating while you're trying to read your Salon article or what have you. This Flash Click to View would just put a big gray box where the flash animation would be, and you have to click it once for it to start playing.
That sounds like it a was great sweet. Extension.
That's cool.
Now, it got abandoned after release 0.9. Somebody else recently picked it up, and now there's a version for the 1.0 family.
That's awesome.
It's a great extension.
One of my favorite ones was the Easy Gestures, which allowed you to do mouse gesturing to control the navigational experience within your web browser.
What's a mouse gesture?
It's simply a movement that you would make with the mouse, either with the one of the buttons clicked, and that movement is interpreted by the web browser and could do something like, say, go to the top of the page, or go to the bottom of the page, or go back, or go forward, or, you know, ultimately even like find a link or something like that. It makes kind of browsing as easy as kind of just waving your magic wand and going for it.
How is that better than your typical back or forward or home key?
You don't have to move the mouse all the way up to the left-hand, you know, corner. Wherever you are on the web page, you can make this little movement, and off you go.
There's an email that's germane to this topic. Linus in Lakewood would like to know, where would a novice like me find an extension out there in Dork World, a.k.a. the net, or as Russ would call it, the interweb? As anybody who's just really damn cool would call it, the interweb.
Damn right.
Damn cool. Basically, right off the bat, you can just Google Firefox extensions, and there's a couple of places here.
You don't even have
to. If you already have Firefox, you can go to, it's the tools menu, and then there's an extensions thing, and you can say get more extensions, and it puts you at the clearinghouse.
Yeah. Is that the addons.mozilla.org? Is that where it takes you? There's another one here called extensionroom.mozdev.org, M-O-Z-D-E-V.org. Uh-huh. They got a whole bunch there.
I like Amitai's way better. If you have Firefox already, then you should go to the tools menu and go to extensions. If you don't have Firefox already, you should, and go get it, and then go to the tools menu and go to extensions.
How do you go get it, Matt?
You would go to mozilla.org and follow the instructions for downloading it.
I think there's a getfirefox.com, too.
Yeah, I think so. No, spreadfirefox.com.
Maybe there's that as well.
There could be.
You could probably just go to download.com.
You could do
and
that,
search
too.
For Firefox and go get it. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. When you install Firefox, is it just one big honking download, or does it download a little installer thingy and then that does
it? No, it's 5.3 megs or something like that? It's small.
It's tight.
Oh, that's small.
It's tight. Migrates all your settings from Internet Explorer and your all the other kind of fun stuff, so you're good to go.
Can you integrate any instant messaging, popular instant messaging protocols into
the Mozilla suite includes an IRC client. Yeah, I don't think that Firefox... Does Firefox have a version of Chatzilla?
No, they don't.
Okay.
But if you're really jonesing for something like that, go get Game or one of the other ones that we have spoken about
on
previous shows.
Well, why don't we have a little chat about instant messaging when we come back from the break, and maybe we can discuss our personal preferences and what we like and dislike about the current IM clients out there, and maybe our listeners might actually be curious to know what we think.
I want to cover the whole tax thing too, because you had a great little note about that earlier this week in
tax
email.
Tax thing?
Yeah, the credit report.
Oh, that? Yeah. We'll tell you about that. Sure.
When we come back.
We'll be back in a minute.
You're invited to the Irish Summerfest, June 16th through the 19th at Euclid Memorial Park in Euclid, Ohio. The Irish Summerfest features exciting groups and entertainment for all ages, such as Phantom of the Opera star Kieran Sheehan, Off Kilter, The Fenian, The McMurrows, The Peelers, Tommy Flynn, Annette Griffin, and The Town Pants. New groups like Searson, The Clumsy Lovers, North Sea Gas from Scotland, and Patrick O'Sullivan. Local groups like The New Barleycorn, Mossy Moran, Irish Dance School Performances, and Bagpipe Bands. A children's stage with crafts, magic shows, puppet shows, and Jungle Terry's Animal World, an Irish mall, coffee shop, and plenty of food and beverages. Take I-90 to the East 222nd or Babbitt Road exit and go north to the festival grounds. Parking is free and everything is undercover. General admission is $8, but pre-sale tickets are available at area Irish import stores. For more information, call 440-942-0938 or visit www.irishsummerfest.org. Save the dates, June 16th through the 19th. The Irish Summerfest, where there's something for everyone. Every Wednesday at 10 a.m., join Barb Storch on People Power WERE 1300 AM. Barb interviews our area's most influential people from all walks of life. If you want to know what's going on in the greater Cleveland area, then you need to listen to Barb Storch each Wednesday at 10 a.m. here on People Power WERE 1300 AM. WERE, we're the talk of Cleveland.
My mom thinks chat rooms can be so dangerous.
My mom, too. But what do moms know?
Yeah, my mom thinks I'm gonna meet up with some weirdo who's gonna, like, molest me or something.
Moms are so uncool.
Yeah, we're like best friends already. We have so much in common.
Sports, video games, lots of stuff. So why don't we meet up at the arcade? I'll bring lots of change.
Cool.
Let's meet at the food court and wear our baseball caps backwards so we recognize each other. I'm not telling my folks.
Me neither.
Meet me at noon.
McGruff, the crime dog here. When your kids chat online, they have no idea who they're talking to. Warn them that predators surf the internet looking for young victims. Be your kid's safety net on the internet. Tell them to get your permission before entering a chat room or giving out any information. Tell them to never meet anyone without taking you along. For more tips, visit McGruff.org.
An important announcement from the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Friday nights at 7 p.m., tune in for Conversations with Stanley Tolliver. You know his name and you know his reputation. Some folks call him the ghetto lawyer. Every Friday, Stanley Tolliver is host to a wide variety of movers, shakers, and newsmakers for an hour of honest talk about topics that affect all of us. Conversations with Stanley Tolliver, this Friday and every Friday at 7 p.m., exclusively on Cleveland's Home for Local Talk, AM 1300, WERE.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial a Dork.
Okay, we have a winner of the messenger bag. We actually can't really confirm or deny if she's correct at all, but Beth Platt, if you're out there listening, your answer was so damn good that we're going to give you the bag anyway. So just email us at dorks@dialadork.com with your address, and I will ship that thing out toot sweet.
The messenger bag is made out of Laura's skin.
So she says, summarize. Yeah, her answer says that their creative director or this woman, Edie Friedman, was hired to design the book covers, and she thought the books had the strangest titles, Said and Awk. And it evoked images, and this is right up Yoko's alley here, images of the popular fantasy game Dungeons & Dragons. And while looking for imagery, she encountered some 18th and 19th century wood and copper plate engravings of animals, and she encountered a pair of slender lorises and had an epiphany.
How do you spell loris?
Well, she has it spelled here, L-O-R-I-S-E-S. And I have to say,
she's a school teacher. I would trust her.
Well, I trust her. I have never heard of one. So I don't know what she's talking about. But had an epiphany. She goes, that's Said and Awk. So there it is. Beth, you might be wrong. You might be totally full of crap, but I can't tell the difference. It sounds really authoritative to me. So you win.
Said and Awk sounds like something I might hear in Europe.
Well, you don't want it. Or do you have any Said and or Awk? Okay, so congratulations. And just shoot us an email with your address, and I'll mail it out to you right away. Fantastic. And during the break, Ty pointed out that we actually never really addressed the tiger issue at all. We just kind of skirted right by it. And then he starts quoting Monty Python, and off we go, Tangent City. So
I will not buy this record. It is scratched.
I will not buy this tobacconist. It is scratched.
I need that phrasebook, man.
May I please fondle your buttocks? Yes, right down the street, three streets in the mega right. Okay, so look, tell us a little bit. Just tell us about Mac OS 10 Throat Wobbler Mangrove.
Well, so it's this version of Mac OS 10 that's brand new. They come out with a new version about every year. This one actually took a little longer because all of the obvious improvements they could have made were already made in Panther, which was the last one. So the speed of development on Mac OS X is starting to slow down because it's got so much infrastructure that's exactly what you would need to build applications on top of or servers on top of, that at this point, the kind of improvements they could make take a lot of work. It's kind of like with Windows, how we're waiting so long for an upgrade to XP because they're trying to rewrite their file systems to be database-backed, and it's taken them years, and we're not going to see Longhorn for another couple of years at least.
Yeah, they're already pushing it back, to my understanding, quite a bit.
OS X is going to get slower and slower with new updates because the features are going to get progressively bigger and bigger and bigger. 10.4 has a huge collection of them. Apple has a web page with something like upwards of 200 features. Some of them are small, some of them are big, some of them are cute, like you can use a Bluetooth wireless headset as an input-output device on the computer.
Cool.
Is that speech recognition?
What's a big one? Is there the big one?
There are a few big ones. One big one is Spotlight, which is, as far as the user interface is concerned, it's a way to search everything on the drive really fast. You hit Command Space, that's the Apple key in the space bar, and in the upper right you'll see a little text box where you can type in anything you want, and it searches through an index of everything on your hard disk, so it's instantaneous. And you get a list of all the email messages that have that text in it, any file names.
Yeah, it's
that have
a Google desktop for Apple.
Yes, but there's, in addition to that, as part of Spotlight, the part that you don't see is behind the scenes, there is a programming interface for anybody who writes an application for the Mac to make their application generate data that is Spotlight searchable.
Oh, that's very cool.
So it doesn't have to work as hard as, say, Google Desktop that has to peer into Word documents without knowing about the format or so on and so forth. So Spotlight's a real big one. There's also Dashboard, which is essentially, if you remember desk accessories from way back in the day on the early Macintosh, they were small mini programs like the calculator, the scrapbook, that you could launch simultaneously with whatever else you were working on, and they didn't get in the way, and you could get them out of the way real easily. Dashboard is a real slick eye candy version of that. Plus, the programs that you can write for Dashboard can communicate over the network. So there's one that can track flights graphically. Like you can see the little airplane icon moving around.
Nifty.
There's one that hooks into the weather. They have a bunch of really pretty things. And the way there's a key that you hit, and it brings them all on top of the screen, like in the Z-axis. It's like a three-dimensional desktop, and Dashboard will come on top, and then it'll slide out of the way and not be on top. So it's always running, essentially, but it's almost never in the way, except you hit a key, and then it's there.
So like a zero being, or like not sexy at all, like say Roseanne Barr, okay, to like Eva Longoria, like just the sexiest girl, you know, in the world right now. Where is what female celebrity would you say
Dory?
Tiger is sexy like?
Wow. I don't know how to answer that question.
I would volunteer Keeley for that nomination.
Oh my goodness. Let's not discuss Keeley. Go ahead.
I don't even know what's being talked about. It's probably good. At least the Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Well, I think she's really sexy.
Okay, at least that.
All right, that's great.
She's a cutie pie.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway.
All right, well, hold on. I got another question for Ty,
Yoko,
too.
Yoko, you don't have to look at me like
that.
She's
too.
All right? You really don't.
Let me ask Ty a question.
Go ahead.
A lot of the improvements in Mac OS X have been visually based. And I have to say that for any kind of Unix or Linux-based distro, Mac OS X just looks like, it looks like the bomb.
It's pretty.
What I do want to know, and I haven't done enough research on this my own, I apologize, but what's the graphic card support look like on the Mac side of the house? I mean, for us gamers out there in the world, we're like, you know, into Windows because it's the best gaming platform right now. But I've seen some pretty fantastic games on Mac, and I just want to know what the status of that is.
I regret to inform you that I'm not much of a gamer.
Okay.
But the Apple graphics infrastructure will work in a real basic mode on any card you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a cutoff for all the fancy 3D zooming kind of features. I don't know exactly what that is. If you have a recent G4, it'll work with all the cool stuff.
Okay. We'll have to check into that because the Mac platform has been such a home for the visual zealots out there doing 3D work or video work or Photoshopping or anything like that. You know, contributing to FARC, I bet you half of those people are on Macs or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. Hey, well, let's take a 90-degree turn here. We're going to talk to a caller. Caller. We got a caller here, Greg. Greg, what's up?
Hey, question for you guys.
Yeah, shoot.
What do I do to tie my computer into my stereo system?
Hey, you know what? That's which way do you want to go? You want to record things from the stereo to your computer, or you want to pump out sound from your computer to the stereo?
I want to pump out tunes, man.
That sounds like my kind of guy right there.
All
right. Honestly. So I assume that you have a sound card in your computer, right? Right, Greg?
Yeah, I think I have a sound card in there.
Okay. And on the back of your sound card, I assume you have some output that goes to, like, some computer speakers, right? You have, like, some little computers. Do you have any, like, little computer speakers?
Yeah, I've got little speakers on there.
All right. Now, the input that comes out of the back of the sound card is called an eighth-inch stereo. And if you go into Radio Shack, for a couple bucks, you can get something that basically converts that to what's called RCA. Now, RCA is what's on the back of all your, you know, all your big stereo equipment,
okay,
your amplifier. And what you're going to need to do is go from the computer right into the back of one of your inputs in your amplifier, like either the CD input or the TV input, DVD, whichever one you're not currently using.
There might even be like an aux.
There might even be an aux. And that's the easy way to get it into stereo.
Okay.
Make sure at Radio Shack that you get a 1/8 inch stereo to RCA stereo because there's mono also.
Yeah, right. And there are more advanced ways to get the sound from your computer out to your stereo. If you want to spend some more money and maybe achieve even like the maximum sound quality possible, you could get one of these like Creative Audigy type cards. They cost like $150-$200. I think they actually have the RCA jacks right on them. Just run the cables. They have digital SPDIF and other things like that that you can run right to a really nice receiver. And you were talking about some sort of, there's some wireless solutions.
I was going to ask Greg, how close is your computer to the stereo? Are they in the same room?
Well, that was my next question. They're in a different room, so I was going to actually send the wiring through the floor and through the crawl space and pop it back up in the wall.
Would that be a lot of work?
Well, it'll be a little bit of work, but I just don't want all the wires hanging around. How far can I run those wires without losing signal?
Well, if it's digital, I mean, it's different from digital to analog, but I was going to suggest even a different solution to that saves you the trouble. You can get a wireless device that will stream the audio without a cable, without running it through the floor or anywhere. I have it looks like a little AC adapter for a computer. It's the Apple AirPort Express. You plug it into the wall. It's just this little tiny brick, and it has an Ethernet port, a USB port, and a sound out, just like you would have from your sound card to the speakers. And that will connect wirelessly with your computer if you have wireless, or over Ethernet if you can arrange that. But wireless is why I'm recommending it. And then you just plug the RCA cable that Paul was talking about from the AirPort Express, which you can put right near your stereo, into the stereo, as long as you're within wireless range of the AirPort Express from your computer.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, and that would be pure digital sound. So the last mile is just from the wireless receiver to the stereo.
And it's really not that expensive. It would probably cost a lot less than, you know, buying the right concrete drill bits or, you know, all that other kind of stuff to make it work.
Okay.
Plus, you can put a USB printer on that and share that with other computers at home you might have, or it can be your wireless access point for your home in addition to the sound stuff that it does.
I've got a question for our radio heads over here. So the iPod, of course, is a hot audio device, and it comes with, you can buy something called the iTrip with it, right, that allows you to broadcast to your radio station. Why don't we have something like that for the house?
Well, I think because the FM broadcast range on those is usually very limited per FCC guidelines.
It's like 10 feet.
Yeah. At most, you can get 10 to 50 feet, which, you know, if you have a small apartment, that
would be fine. It's good for your
car.
I actually used that on my road trip. We had a two-car caravan, and we were hoping that I could play my iPod and have it be heard in both cars. And it only really worked if the cars were right next to each other, or I think the one without the antenna was just in front of the one with the iTrip. Otherwise, it was too far away. The reason I don't think you see that in the home is FM doesn't transmit the whole range of audio that you would hear on a CD or even an MP3. It's a much smaller band, and there's distortion involved, even if it's a good FM transmitter.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. Hey, we wanted to get to one. It looks like we're going to save our instant messaging talk for next week because we are getting up against it here.
Credit report thing.
Well,
we're
going to do that right now.
Oh,
we're going to do it right
now.
How long does it take to do that?
I don't know.
Okay, look, we wanted to just we'll make a real 270-degree turn here, and we are going to mention a really cool website, www.annualcreditreport.com.
Please type carefully.
This is different than freecreditreport.com. If you heard, that's different. That, you get a free credit report, but I think you have to subscribe to some sort of credit watch or some kind of service to do that. What this is the Federal Trade Commission is actually, and the government has basically stipulated that every American citizen is entitled to one free inspection of their credit report from all three. So it's really three credit reports in one. All three major reporting agencies, which is what TransUnion,
Equifax,
and Experian or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if you go to annualcreditreport.com, you can actually sign up and get your free credit reports from all three.
That's not hyphenated.
This is not hyphenated. This is annualcreditreport.com, and you've got to spell it correctly. Jody mentioned to us during the break that if you leave out a few letters here and there, or add an extra letter, or misspell something, you will be taken to a site that will try to fish you and try to get your information and try to basically make your life a living hell for the next several months. So, well, not that I. Seeing your credit report wouldn't do the same thing to your mental state. But seriously, they are rolling this program out geographically. It won't even be available, I don't think, till like spring of next year for the West Coast or something like that. However, it has been rolled out to the East Coast and the Midwest. It rolled out to Ohio in March, if I'm not mistaken. I have already used the service myself.
Me too.
And great. And what I did was I printed them out. I printed out my reports. You can click on view printable version or whatever. I did that and I printed it to a PDF, so I've got it.
I did that too.
I've got it. I can look at it whenever I want and reference it whenever I want, and I can print it out to hard copy whenever I want.
And just a word for everybody out there, this is so important to do, at least on an annual basis, especially for anybody who's out there buying stuff on the internet, and it even more so if you're getting ready to make any big purchases like a home or, for that matter, a car or anything like that. Or go to Europe for 7 weeks. Although they might not be able to catch you if you, hide out there for a while. But regardless.
Well, anyway, I mean,
look for the weird stuff on your report.
It happened to me. I had a school loan that was listed twice, and it was $19,000 for each one. And yes,
once is enough, thank you.
Well, yeah. I mean, $19,000 was the correct amount, but it was on there twice. And no matter, actually, I complained to the person I had the loan with. They told me they would clear it up, and it never got cleared up despite their efforts until I actually consolidated that loan somewhere else. And it was then taken off the report and re-reported properly with the new, lender. So, you've got to check your credit report, and it also shows you who's looking at your credit report.
Very important thing.
So that's kind of interesting to know. And I'm kind of curious to see what the lead time is between a credit company looking at my report and then sending me snail spam. So okay, next week we will talk about our favorite.
Let's say goodbye to Ty. This is his last show,
man. Oh my God, you're right.
What are you in your blabber?
To hell with the stupid instant messaging clients. Ty, we love you, buddy. We love having you on the show.
I will do my best to correspond from Europe.
Yeah, it's probably going to be restricted to email until he gets back. And when you're at Columbia, I'm sure we can arrange for something like a telephone or something.
Most def.
All right, so you're not gone. You're just
at large.
Gone for a little while. But anyway, take it easy on Europe. They already hate us.
Old Dialed Dorkers never die. They just sign off.
They just, you're not dying. You'll be back in a few weeks, all right? Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Views, opinions, claims, or representations are those of the host and are not those of WERE's owners or management. Broadcast or rebroadcast in any form of WERE programming is prohibited unless otherwise agreed to in writing.
You're listening to Cleveland's only local talk radio station, People Powered, 1300 AM, WERE Cleveland, a Radio 1 station.
USA Radio Network News, this is Russ Rossman.
Together, it was live.